This spoiler-filled podcast is recorded live, unscripted, and intended for those over 18. Now prepare your ears for the audio stimulation they've been waiting for all day as we step into
the spoiler room.
And it is the spoiler room. We're back again. It is back to school time of year, and I thought what a perfect time to talk about school films because there are actually quite a bit out there. And tonight in the spoiler room, we have a full crew. We welcome you for listening. Let's start right down the list. We've got Cole Meredith returning here. How are you doing tonight, Cole?
Excellent. Really good. Glad to be here.
Awesome. And the big deal himself, Mr. Glenn Bittner. How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good.
Great to have you, as always. Joe Caldwell is back with us. Been a while, gone for a while. Nice to see you again, Joe. How are you doing?
Glad to be back. Thanks.
We've got returning back to the spoiler room again as well. We've got Mr. William Holt. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm actually doing pretty good.
Awesome. Well, glad to have you on here. We have a new member in the crew. He's new to the room. Hopefully his connection works out for him. Sean Marshall, CEO and editor-in-chief of 4geekslikeyou.com. How are you doing, sir?
I'm all right.
Glad to have you in the spoiler room tonight. Now, the spoiler room, as you folks know, we do spoil movies, and we're going to be talking about school films. I asked the fine folks here to bring some films they wanted to talk about, either their favorites or just ones to discuss, and I thought it was appropriate the time here, and I think we're going to dive right into it. Let's start with our newest member to the room, Mr. Sean Marshall. What's one of the films that you wanted to bring to the room tonight, Sean?
I definitely have to go back to Kindergarten Cop with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, like, nice.
that's
starting the lowest grade, back. Too. That's cool.
Nice. Like, that's definitely one that stands out for me. I remember, like, as a little kid, like, the infamous part was where, the most memorable part, actually, was when the little kid is like, boys have penis, girls have vaginas. Like, I remember saying that in school, like, yeah, boys have penis, girls have vaginas. Teacher's like, go to face the wall. Sorry. So, yeah, that's definitely one of my big films that stands out that's related to school.
Well, that was one of those, too, that Arnold was just getting into his comedy phase as well, coming out of his action roles. And, of course, there was action in it as well because it was, what, early 90s, late 80s, where you couldn't have a comedy without some action scene in it. anyone else have any memories of Kindergarten Cop? I remember watching it, whole line of, it's not a tumor, you know.
I'm the potty pooper.
I'm the potty.
Yeah.
Well, I was at the premiere of Terminator 2, and there was a large group. Oh, that was the most rowdy group I ever saw a movie with. We had a packed theater, and there was a group of 8 college guys in the back, and they just kept quoting Kindergarten Cop all night.
That might be annoying.
Well, before the movie started, anyway. Yeah. So. But, yeah, Kindergarten Cop, that's a great school
Ivan
film.
Reitman.
Ivan Reitman was in it.
Oh. Yeah. Ah. No, Ivan Reitman directed.
Or directed. Yeah. So it was just on the edge of the new 90s films that were coming out, and the political correctness was just on the edge. So, but it had a decent cast in there, too. Who played his partner? Pamela Reed. She was in that.
Looking at the names. I don't recognize anybody too much.
Linda Hunt as well. That's an excellent choice there, Sean. Did you see it in the theaters when it came out?
Yeah, actually I did. I saw that in the theaters with my mother. It's like, but yeah, like that's definitely like one of my one of the cool films because I had started out with Terminator with Arnold. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, like yeah, he's funny now. Oh, okay. Like, I mean, the film was kind of cheesy. I mean. It was 1990. I mean, it came out like right before Christmas, if I'm correct. So but it was like kind of like even as a kid, I was like, yeah, it's getting a little too corny now. Like,
yeah.
But, I mean, come on, man. It's freaking Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like,
it's the only time he'll probably be on this list.
Like.
Yeah.
I actually just saw it for the first time a couple weeks ago. My girlfriend has a copy, and I'd never seen it, and put it in at like midnight. After half a bottle of wine, and
it's funny.
I was entertained. I mean,
It's fun. It's a good movie. It's not like a. I mean, it's Ivan Reitman.
It's,
I mean,
it's not
Ivan
a. Reitman, it's not good, a horror.
He's funny. Arnold Schwarzenegger's funny. I mean, he can be pretty funny. I mean, he's best known for sort of his com. He's almost more known for the comedy than. Well, he's getting funnier as he gets older because
yes,
that's
he
all
is.
He has, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like, yeah, can't can't take a shirt anymore and swing a sword. Like, nobody's trying to try to see any of that.
Yeah, we have all seen the shirt pictures with his shirt off. He's no Conan anymore.
I mean, they're trying to reboot. I mean, try to like bring him back as Conan. I was like, really? Like, come on, man.
Well,
no.
At least I don't agree with that. Yeah.
At least they're bringing him back as old Conan and not new Conan, though. So that's which you know will be easier for him to play.
But
I want to see that zombie movie with him with the. Is he a zombie, or I could see him being the father. He's, you know, he was the father to Alyssa Milano, so more comedy. But yeah, I mean, you know.
But, you know, Kindergarten Cop also, it made $91 million in the box office, and its budget of $26 million, so that's not too bad for a...
It was a hit, I think. I'm pretty sure it was a hit.
Yeah, one of his first comedies, so... Excellent, excellent choice. William, what about you, sir? Let's pick a film off of your list tonight. What do you got?
Well, I actually have two. Would you rather do them both now or just one for now?
We'll just do one at a time right now, and then we'll see what we got for time in that. And...
All right. I'm not sure if everybody saw this, because this is like the third in the series, but it's Boogeyman 3.
Oh, nice.
That's a different choice, yeah.
Yeah,
that's one that did not come to mind.
It was
hard
to choose.
What did you like about it? What was it about Boogeyman 3 that you liked?
Well, for one, it was very bloody, and I liked blood films. Two, it took place at a college dorm, which was different from the previous two films.
I've seen the first
and
one.
And three, the Boogeyman wasn't just like some figment of like memories or someone dressed up. It was an actual paranormal figure. So that kind of brought it to life a little bit. It was really good.
I haven't seen it.
I remember seeing the first two Boogeymans. Yeah. I'm not sure if I saw three actually. So
I haven't seen three.
But that is still a good choice there. Sitting there dealing with college, everybody seems to want to do horror films in college. So
yeah.
Can't imagine why. Jeez.
I don't know why.
It took place in the girls' dorm room. No, I mean that's. I mean, where are you gonna find?
Yeah. I mean, college wasn't that scary, right?
All the colleges have film schools now, probably, right?
My favorite scene in the movie is there's a part in a laundry room where this girl's, like, putting laundry in, and all the laundry machines open up, and they just start shooting out gushes of blood until the whole room fills up.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So bloody.
I have seen this movie. I remember that scene.
It's, like, The Shining or something.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of.
Got a good young cast. The director of it is Gary Jones. He actually directed a number of other films. Looks like he handled Crocodile 2, The Death Swamp.
Wow.
But he
oh god.
That's why I recognize the name. He directed Axe Giant, The Wrath of Paul Bunyan. I've seen that.
Oh,
I don't know now.
That's what happens.
So that's what happened. So awesome. Boogeyman 3, great choice there, William. Anyone here actually seen it? Like I said, I saw it a while ago, but anyone else here?
I haven't seen it. I should, but...
I'm going to buy it now if I see it, though, for $5. I'm going to pick it up.
Seriously. Going to have to tick that one on the list. So let's move on. Cole, what's one of the films on your list tonight?
Man, you know, I actually just came up with this at last minute. The Principal with James Belushi and Gossett Jr.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, I've got three movies, I was trying to think of a movie that actually takes place in a school for the whole movie. The Principal, the school, the Brandel High, is actually a character. They give you a good sense of, you know, what it looks like from the outside and where you are once you're in it. And the performances are good. I think it's one of Michael Wright's first performances, who's like one of the most underrated actors, I think, ever. And he's really good as I love the opening scene, of course, with Jim Belushi in the bar, and anybody who's ever been through a bad breakup knows what it's like to want to all that and go to your girlfriend's new ex. But I really enjoy the film just as a goofy school movie. Christopher Kane was really close to the town in the 80s. He did Young Guns, and That Was Then, This Is Now, which I think is another really good movie.
I haven't heard that name in a long time.
I like the principle as a goofy, school-oriented movie with some unnecessary action and a really good supporting performance from Lou Gossett Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ray Don Chong, I loved her when she was still working.
Yeah, I think we all had crushes on Ray
what
Don.
What happened to her, Sean? Does anybody know?
I think she became a gargoyle and she flew away. That was it.
That's Tommy Chong's daughter, right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, she was an amazing actress back in the day, and she has a really good role in this. It's a solid, goofy movie, just kind of a weird, goofy movie that I thought of that almost every scene takes place in a school, and I enjoy it. I have it on DVD full frame, unfortunately, but I watch it every once in a while, and I always enjoy it.
Well, that had a very young James Belushi, and he had been doing really, you know, known for comedy, and this one was actually kind of like an action film as it played out. You didn't expect to go that route, but him and Gossett Jr. really played off each other well, I thought.
Yeah.
Louis Gossett Jr. is one of those, I'll watch him in anything, so.
Yeah, man. Iron Eagle 3 is Lou Gossett Jr. For sure.
He's the only reason I went to Iron Eagle 3 was for
that. That's awesome.
Anyone else here remember seeing The Principal? I remember seeing it. I was surprised.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I haven't seen it in a long time, though.
James Belushi doing action was interesting.
The baseball does most of the work, actually.
Well, yeah. But that was one of those films in the 80s, especially the mid-late 80s, that you had where you had a normal situation, and I mean a normal setting, but you had this kind of outrageous situation that you're just nodding your head going, yeah, no.
Yeah.
What was the setup? What was the exact setup? I can't remember. Was it?
It was a gang, I believe, that was trying to run the school. It was in not so nice high school with a lot of rough kids and that. I forgot if it was a reform school or not, but anyway.
It was like an action version of Stand and Deliver or something?
Kind of.
I've seen it. I just can't remember what the plot was. Like.
Well, the scene opens and he goes after his ex's new lover, who was her divorce lawyer with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
So they instead of firing him, they send him to be principal at the school that just needs somebody to be a principal because it's so horrendous. And
this is what IMDb's description: a teacher is assigned to be principal of a violence and crime-ridden high school. it's not even put right unless I'm blind.
Isn't every high school crime-ridden?
A violent and crime-ridden high school.
Was there like a scene in the movie like where he hits some guy with like the swing? Like he was talking to some guy and like he just puts the swing in his face?
I don't think so. I don't think I could
basketball.
Yeah, I think
it, like wasn't it like a swing or something? Like he just pushed like the
I thought it was a basketball. Was it a basketball maybe? I don't know. I think it was a basketball. I think there was a scene with him with a basketball.
What's Lou Gossett play?
Lou Gossett is the janitor who Lou is just kind of can find a menial jobs around the school, but he has a really good monologue in that, actually. Yeah. Well,
he's a good actor. I mean, I kind of...
Even if he did all those Iron Eagle sequels.
If you ever look up the best, like, lines or something from, like, the best kick-ass lines on YouTube, he has one of the best lines. I can't remember what it is exactly, but he like, foot sweeps some guy, and he just says, like, something about being a sucker or something. It's, like, hilarious. I was like, Lou Gossett, I had forgot who he was one day, and then I was watching, and I was like, Lou Gossett, yes! So I grew up, in the 80s, he was in a lot of movies. So.
Oh, yeah, he was, totally. Yeah. So it's a great choice, nice, principal. Joe, what about you, sir? What's one of the films off your list?
I just went through a couple of movies I had at my house here in the collection, so I don't have that many, so I picked Slaughter High from 1986. I don't know if any of you guys have seen that.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that movie, I got into it. I watched Faculty the first night, and then last night I watched Slaughter High. And I had watched it a few months ago, but this time I just got more into it. I kind of looked in, you know, a little bit into the trivia on the movie. And the actor killed himself like 2 years after it was released or some crap like that. I was like, what? The kid who's the psycho killer. I was like, what a bummer, man.
Wow. That's a classic 80s
the soundtrack on that movie.
Horror film, though. That common theme that you had in the 80s high school horror film of the bullied kid who, you know, they have some kind of reunion and he comes back.
You know what? The one thing about it was there's a lot of kills in this movie that are pretty cool. They involve, like, chemicals and stuff and, like, face melting, and it was pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, he gets hurt by acid at the beginning, but then a couple people die different ways, and the melty guy, I like, you know, melt movie crap, so
Was this the one where the couple's having sex and he puts the car battery on the metal bedpost?
Yep. That was cool, man. And she, like, fries on it.
She
exact time she was going to have her orgasm. It's right when she goes back to reach to the, you know, the headboard, and he just, kills the girl with some sort of, like, acid and melts her. It's pretty cool. Yeah,
it's a great scene because they're going at it, and so when she grabs the metal, she just keeps jumping up and down on the guy like faster and faster.
And he has that cool Joker mask that he wears with the Letterman jacket. It's pretty cool, man. And the one thing, it's like they make fun of Friday the 13th in it. Mm-hmm. It's got some good kills. It's got this really cheesy song and. The guys, I think the last name was Manfredi or something that wrote it, but it's like this really like basic like guitar riff. It's pretty cool. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was originally supposed to be called April Fools. That was the bit of trivia also that I read about it. Yeah. Well, I guess it was only released in Europe as April Fools. The action takes place on April Fools.
There was an April Fools Day movie too, so that could have been why.
It came out the same year, so they didn't want to.
Right. Anybody else have a. Any thoughts on Slaughter High?
It's been 20 years since I saw it.
Still good.
It is still good. It's you had that line of high school films that all basically followed that same formula. You had nerd who was picked on. There's reunion later, and somebody's killing them all. And sometimes it's the nerd. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's the mutant kid. Sometimes it's the parents. You know.
Have any of you guys ever seen Massacre at Central High?
Mm-mm. No.
That's another high school one like that, but it was filmed at one of the colleges by my house, and my friend's like obsessive compulsive. Every time we go out, he has to drive by the school. At the end, the guy runs out with a bomb strapped to him, and that's where it's like this big staircase.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's where.
Wow.
It's funny. Yeah, okay. That's another film if you're writing down. Movies,
yeah. If anyone's watching and they're making notes, you're going to have a nice long list of things to watch tonight, I think.
Someone gets killed by a boulder in that movie.
What?
I'm pretty sure, if memory serves me correctly, someone gets killed by a boulder. The killer is the kid from 10 Minutes to Midnight with Charles Bronson.
What was the movie called again?
Massacre at Central High. Maybe it could exist as a figment of my high school imagination, but...
the reason why I'm laughing is because like the first thing that came to my mind was Lord of the Flies, where Piggy got hit with the boulder. Like
as soon as
he
said,
I got killed with a boulder. Yeah. I was like, what?
Yeah, it's 1976.
Yep, 1976.
Is that the same one? Jesus, I think so. It's gotta be. Is that the kid?
Joe's having flashback to films he hasn't seen.
It isn't a kid. Whatever.
We're going to use this for evidence later, Joe, if someone you know ever dies by a boulder. We know who to talk to first. So, Glenn, what about you? What's one of the movies on your list tonight?
Porky's 2. No, I'm kidding.
Well, there you go.
I had picked some college movies, but college movies could be its own show completely, I think. I'm not going to go with them. I'm going to go instead with Rushmore.
Oh, Rushmore.
Yeah. Awesome.
Rushmore.
The movie that pretty much revived Bill Murray's career.
Yeah.
That's where his career restarted, was right there. And I like Wes Anderson movies. I like the style that of his films.
See, there's those two schools. Those are the people who do like Wes Anderson films and everyone else.
Yes. Yes.
That's true, though. Yeah.
And I can understand the people who don't like Wes Anderson movies. I can see where some people are just idiots. But people whose opinions I respect, who don't like them, I can see reasons as to why.
Sure.
It's definitely not a style that would appeal to everyone, but I think it's one of my favorite Wes Anderson films to begin with. And I like it overall. Just the whole Jason Schwartzman and his interaction with Bill Murray is just fabulous in that movie.
Well, and Wes Anderson always manages to get talent for his movies. I mean, you had Brian Cox, Olivia Williams in here. You had Luke Wilson, a young Luke Wilson is in here, as well as Andrew Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a really good film. Yeah, you're right. It did revitalize Bill Murray's career. 98 that came out, and suddenly he was back on the scene, and he was doing more serious work then too, I think, after that, wasn't he?
Hamlet even. I mean,
yeah, right? So yeah, definitely Rushmore, and they got a Criterion Collection out, I think, that's supposed to be really good. I haven't seen the Criterion Collection disc yet, but
I have not either, but I've probably seen Rushmore itself at least 5 or 6 times.
Sure, yeah, because after that he did Hamlet. Of course, he did do Charlie's Angels.
I forgot that.
And Osmosis Jones.
Well, he's done a bunch of movies with that guy, too. The Life Aquatic and all that, right? That movie's funny.
Yep, Life Aquatic. So Royal Tenenbaums he did, Lost in Translation. Coffee. So, yeah, it was kind of his outside of a stint as Garfield and as Osmosis Jones, he had pretty serious career after that film of Rushmore. So, yeah, definitely an excellent choice there, Glenn. Love it. Now, for me, I've got 3 I brought here. I think I'm going to lead with the obscure one first. I just watched it again last night. 3 o'clock High from 1987.
Casey Shamosko, right? What's that guy's name or something?
Yep. Have all of you seen 3 o'clock High at all?
I haven't. I should.
Yeah, Casey Shamosko was in it as a kid who was having a very bad day. And he works for the high school newspaper, and what ends up happening is he is put in charge of interviewing the new kid who has a reputation of beating up teachers and such, and he doesn't like being touched. And so our nerd guy ends up touching him and has to fight him at 3 o'clock at the high school. And you see the antics he goes through to try to avoid fighting the big, scary guy.
It's good.
It's actually good, but there was controversy behind it. Now, this was produced, one of the producers on it was Aaron Spelling, but another producer that pulled out was Steven Spielberg on this film. Apparently, according to trivia, and I read an interview somewhere, that Spielberg pulled his name from it because he hated Aaron so much.
Wow. And that's like the thing you don't hear Steven Spielberg like getting in fights with people too much.
Yeah, but apparently he really didn't care for him. And I mean, you got some great people in this film. You got Mitch Pileggi in here. You've got Mitch Pileggi. He plays the security guard in here. We've got John P. Ryan here. We got Stacey Glick. You know, if you needed an odd, quirky, nerdy girl, you always got her because she had that high-pitched voice. She was the girl from It's right there. Maximum Overdrive. She
was, oh, really?
She was the annoying, you know, don't you make me a widow on my wedding day, Kurt. Yeah, that's Stacey. That's Stacey Glick. And in this film, and just for brief, at the very beginning and very end, it's hilarious. She's credited, but she's not in there that long. But it's still it's a fun movie. It had been accused of trying to be a replicate, you know, try to duplicate John Hughes films, but I think it stood on its own as one of those good bully films you got from the 80s, and it didn't quite end the way you thought it would, you know, but with the nerd actually winning at the end. But it's a fun movie. I don't know if you guys haven't seen it for a while, or those of you who have and haven't watched for a while. It's on a video on demand now on Amazon, and it's fun. It's well directed, I thought, and entertaining, and definitely anyone who was bullied in high school will definitely relate to it. the director of it was actually had done a number of other films, including the director directed that short film, The Punisher, Dirty Laundry.
Oh, was okay.
The guy who directed this directed that film.
The Dirty Laundry with the Punisher, Thomas Jane.
Yeah,
Punisher?
Yeah.
It's the same guy that directed
3 o'clock High.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was that Ari Shanker guy or whatever. Was he? He's the producer or something then? Or?
I think he's the producer, but okay. Phil Jonu directed that. He directed wow. U2 Rattle and Hum.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
3 o'clock High, though, it was one of my go-tos when I was young. I remember always trying to watch that when it was on, and mm-hmm. I probably rented it several times, too. I used to love that movie. I mean, I haven't seen it probably in 10 years, but, I mean, that's one of the movies that came to mind when you talked about the list.
Well, it was cable fodder, too. I mean, they played that constantly on cable when you were looking for programming.
Yep.
And we are joined by one more member of the crew. He's back and better than ever, Brad Ludwig. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Doing all right. Sorry I'm late. Our other shows ran a little long, so.
Well, no, that's okay. We're just going through our first film, so you're right on time, actually. So we're talking our high school, college, elementary, whatever, school films. And what is one of the ones on your list?
You know, going into this knowing what a couple of people have picked, I'm going to hold off on one of mine, and I'm going to go with School of Rock.
Nice.
Wow. There you go.
Yeah.
Nice choice.
Say what you want about Jack Black, whether you love him or you hate him. There was something so wonderfully innocent about that movie.
Yeah.
And it was the nice thing about School of Rock and Jack Black, whatever your take is on his comedic talents, is passionate about music. And his work with Tenacious D, I love Tenacious D a lot. but to see him kind of put those two things together, acting and music, and make something that I was genuinely just really was warm and nice and was kind of fun to see this fub just kind of, you know, fumble around and finally do something good with his life. Unintentionally, but he does something good with his life and actually helps kids out. And it's really interesting that they actually got back together, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. All the kids because all the kids in there played instruments. They were musicians. It wasn't like overdubbed with like set musicians that they brought in or anything like that. They actually played. And they actually got together and did a set together as a School of Rock reunion, which I thought was really cool. And that really kind of speaks to the fact that, you know, Jack Black obviously wasn't an ass, and the kids could deal with him, you know, and it was cool for them to get back together and to do that. And it was a really warm, kind of nice film, and I kind of enjoyed that.
The soundtrack for it was really good, too, actually. And those kids could play really well. What I thought about School of Rock is, and I'd love to hear if anyone else might agree or disagree, but it had the feel of the old 80s happy film.
Yeah.
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 You know, that's what it reminded me of, was that 80s kind of cheesy, innocent, you know, nothing really horrible is going to happen to anyone. But it's a happy, just a fun film to watch that, you know, you can just sit down and watch with, you know, a group of, you know, any age, and you all enjoy it for different reasons. Would you guys agree with that then?
It's
one of those happy films, which we don't get a lot of with anymore.
Well, I was going to say the thing too, where the kids can play the instruments, it's like adds a certain extra quality to the film, you know what I mean? It shows that they were actually, it wasn't just fluff, you know what I mean? Like you said, Tenacious D, everybody involved with music, it's like more like, so it's part like a musical thing too, you know?
Mm-hmm. What were you gonna say, Sean?
Nah, I was at like, when he had pause. I said like they were actually talented. I love that movie. I really love that movie. I mean, they're actually coming out with a television show on Nickelodeon based on a School of Rock. Next year.
Cool.
Yeah. So I really really like that movie, man. And Jack Black overall, man. And big fan of Tenacious D as well. So yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I used to sing to Wonder Boy to my son when he was a baby. So
I was just thinking about that. I was just mind-blowing. Like, I love that song, man.
Yeah, Tenacious D is always definitely an interesting act, and yeah, I agree with whatever you feel about Jack Black. That's actually a film that, even if you don't quite agree with his comedy, he's decent in it. He's not too Jack Black. You can tell it's something that he loves near and dear because he loves music so much. And that just really comes across.
Well, a couple of the songs on that soundtrack he actually had to fight for. I believe the Led Zeppelin song is only in the movie because he wrote them a letter pleading to let them use the song. And I believe that's Linklater, isn't it? Isn't that a Linklater film?
I think so. It's one of the big directors. I know it is.
Yeah, man, it's a great movie. I mean, it's a flawless film. I can't think of a single thing I can criticize.
Yep, it is a Richard Linklater film.
Well, he's done other rock, you know, stuff. So.
Mm-hmm. And it was written by a guy named Mike White, who also wrote, unfortunately, Jack Black's Nacho Libre. But
well, Mike White actually co-stars in the film. He's actually Ned Schneebly.
Yeah, but that's a great choice there, School of Rock. I know I've got the soundtrack for it. I listened to it quite a bit, actually. My favorite part is when the kids are on stage doing the Battle of the Bands. I love that.
Yeah.
That whole scene, you know. Definitely reminded me of early 80s soft, happy movies that, you know, are lacking nowadays. So, all right, that's a great first list through. I asked you guys to bring a couple more, so let's start off. William, what's another film on your list?
Well, before I get to it, about Tenacious D, check this out.
Pick of Destiny. Nice.
Nice.
So, for this film, I know there's this film and there's another one with the same name, but this is not the one with Robert Englund by the Masters of Horror. This is the horror comedy zombie film, Dance of the Dead.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's
okay.
A good one.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite zombie movies.
The not Robert Englund one, the one dealing with a zombie outbreak on a high school prom night.
Yes. That part has the band, too, in it that they have to play at the garage band, right, to keep the zombies on?
Yep.
Am I wrong, right?
Yeah, that's the one that's got the garage band that has to continually play. Otherwise,
have most of you guys seen it? Or it's pretty good. Yeah. I've seen it a couple times. Yeah, it's not
too bad. Sean or Brad or Cole, you guys seen it?
I have, man.
No,
I've got
seen that.
Up to you.
Well,
it's pretty. It's kind of like they described it too when they were marketing it as like a John Hughes, you know, meets a zombie movie. And it is kind of. I mean, I don't know if it's that. It's kind of like Cabin Fever 2. It reminds me of Cabin Fever 2 a little.
Yeah.
It's got the whole prom thing, right, going on, and then I like zombies, so, you know, that was one of the ones I was watching, and it's not bad, actually. So.
Nice! That's awesome!
Yeah, it's a good ad. It's a good ad.
It also has, I think, one of the only zombie-on-zombie makeout scenes I've ever seen.
Wow. What?
Yep.
I don't remember that part.
In
you've seen it, Mark.
Yeah, I've seen it. If this is the one that I'm remembering, there's a bathroom scene where there's a zombie on zombie kiss makeout session. it's definitely wasn't expecting that at all.
It's had to happen before.
Oh, I'm sure it has.
It's the just, Robert England one. It's better than the Robert England Toby Hooper Dance of the Dead.
That wasn't that bad. I didn't think, but I'm a sucker for Robert England. So
yeah, man.
But yeah, that's got a lot of young actors in it as well. That was very early in a lot of their careers. So it got big on the indie scene too.
It looks like he's doing something on VHS Viral. The director.
Yeah,
I read something. And then I've seen his other film, The Other Side. If you've never seen that movie, check that movie out too. It's the same director. That one's cool. It's about these guys that escape hell, and then this team is sent to like catch them and bring them back. It's really low budget. Nice. It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, the makeup effects in Dance of the Dead 2 was really good. And hey, everyone, it's rated R. Yay!
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm sorry. It sounds ill. It sounds sick. But thank God for a rated R horror film.
Yeah.
So, Sean, what about you, sir? What's another one on your list?
Ah, Breakfast Club. I mean, that film is, it's really it plays a big part of my life, man, because it reminded me of one of my detention sessions in high school. Very much like it, like running around, you know, when the teacher steps out, you're running around the hallway having fun, and you got to get back before the teacher gets in. So, yeah, like I really love that film.
Oh, it's got a great cast and direction, and yeah, that really is like, that's like one of the epitome. Everyone needs to see high school films. and like you said, it's not really that complicated of a story either. I mean, it's just different kids sitting in a detention hall. But it's just the variety of kids they have. I think they summed up every stereotype in high school in that room.
That's one of the best. That's one of my like top ones. I would consider a top pick. Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Anybody got any favorite scenes from The Breakfast Club? Because I knew this film would come up.
Yeah, man. I mean, the scene where he shows the cigar burn is, for child abuse to be recognized in a teen film in the mid-80s was super rare. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had movies like Just One of the Guys or, you know, all these movies that made everything out to be, you know, just hunky-dory and, you know, everybody's biggest problem was so superficial, and Bender's a really important character, man. I mean, for some people who didn't necessarily have a hard childhood, they still might be from the Emilio Estevez standpoint, which is, you know, they don't believe a goddamn word of it, pardon my French,
right.
But
yeah.
That scene when he pulls up his arm, you know, is really key, I think, to why that movie works and why so many different people like it. It's not just candy, you know. It's not just like brain filler. It has something to say. It really does, and I think it's timeless. I think it's going to live on and on and on for a long time, even without the cell phones, you know, or the interweb. I think it's a timeless film. Even the costumes and the way they're dressed, you know, it holds up. It holds up okay. I love the film. It's the reason I fell in love with movies. I think I was 7 when I saw it, and I think at that moment I knew I was going to make movies for the rest of my life. So I love it, man.
Awesome. Anyone else? Joe?
When at the ending you realize he has to go back to his house.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, that's one of the first movies I think I was actually, like, probably getting teary-eyed at. Seriously. I just remember somehow relating to him, and then that song is, like, so... I mean, I think the song is probably...
Tuck Away the bookend that film is with that song, Don't You Forget It.
I mean, that's a great song. So. And it sums up the emotion at the end of the film, and I remember being kind of teary-eyed about it probably at the end. Thinking that he had to go back to, you know... It didn't have a perfect ending, you know? So.
No, it didn't. It didn't have a truly happy ending, but...
pissed at the ending.
You got pissed?
Well, it's like outcast guy gets the popular girl, jock gets the crazy goth girl, nerd boy goes home alone. Then eventually does steroids and gets in his own show. But But the scene I love, knowing about it, is the whole when they're talking about why they're there. Because Hughes gave them the reason why they're there. He told Emilio Estevez, you bullied someone. He told Anthony Michael Hall that he had a flare gun in his locker. He didn't tell them why. They basically made up when they filmed. That was for the most part improvised. They were given, this is the reason, tell a story about it. So the whole thing where he talks about, you know, taping that guy's butt cheeks together, Estevez made that up.
Wow.
You know, everything they did, awesome. they made that stuff up. So, wow. I mean, I find that pretty cool. It just,
that's amazing.
So it was pretty artsy for a mainstream film.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Right? Yeah. Brad, what about you? Any particular scene from Breakfast Club stand out for you?
To be honest, it's been a long time since I've seen it. Mm-hmm. I can't really think of anything in particular that really
stood out.
That really stood out to me now.
Mm-hmm. What about
I haven't seen it for probably about 20 years.
What about you, William? Have you seen Breakfast Club?
Unfortunately not.
Oh, well, see, now you got to put that one on your list.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. With the cast that it has in there alone, including the Mr. A-hole himself, Paul Gleason, who seemed to only be able to play that type of character. He played it very well. For me, what stood out for me was always just Ally Sheedy's character. I loved her character because, I mean, this was back before goth was really goth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And exactly. You know, popular and in the culture. So her type of character, you didn't really see that often as a main character in an 80s film. You know, those people were there, but they were always background or extras, or the camera go past them quickly, but you never actually had one that, you know, a crazy... her character, I mean, she was... And she played it so well for her age that she was at. I thought, you know, she just did really well. And for me, I always remember her performance in there. Definitely. So Breakfast Club, excellent choice, Sean. I was hoping someone would bring it up. I figured one
the
of us
pack,
would.
Right? Didn't they call them the Brat Pack, some of those kids? Or
yeah, they were the Brat
Pack. Yeah. The Brat Pack, yeah.
Yeah, because they would
Rob
go on to...
Was, I mean, Rob was not in the movie, but I mean, he was another one of them in there.
Many of them would go on to do St. Elmo's Fire together, I think, as well.
Yep.
So, did you have any other thoughts or memories on Breakfast you wanted to share, Sean?
I mean, no. I mean, just yeah. Like I said, like the whole detention thing just really stacked out because, like I said, I was a knucklehead when I was a kid, and you know that film just really like, yeah, hey guys, you know it's boring to teach you that. Let's go run around the hallway. Come on, they did it in the Breakfast Club. We're not gonna get caught. So, yeah.
Great. Glenn, what about you? What's another film on your list?
All right, another one from my list. Heathers.
Oh, nice. You took one of mine. Yes, Heathers.
I almost led with that one because I thought someone else might take it. But yeah, Heathers. Definitely Heathers. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, even though I think that movie was the peak for both Christian Slater and Winona Ryder. They peaked with that movie, and it has been a downhill for, what, 20, how many years?
It was no Gleaming the Cube.
darn it. You dropped that one before I could say it. That one and Gleaming the Cube. Heathers and Gleaming the Cube are, like, his best movies, probably.
Yes.
Pump Up the Volume's pretty solid, man. I like Pump Up the Volume.
Yeah,
there's other ones.
He had other ones in there, too. Has everyone here seen... seen
Gleaming the Cube?
Oh, Heather? No, Heathers.
Oh, yeah,
no, William? That's another one. That's another one on the list.
That's a good goth one. That's a kind of like a horror one, yeah. I mean,
that's
it's not
like,
horror, but...
It's like the anti-Hughes film.
Yeah, it really is.
For those of you who might not be familiar with Heathers, basically it's a story of a high school kid played by Christian Slater and a high school girl, obviously Winona Ryder, and she kind of falls for him, and Winona rides with the popular girls and ends up, along with this bad boy, ends up killing one of the popular girls. And this is a spoiler, and we're going to give it just a little bit more. And they end up making it seem like a suicide, and suddenly suicide becomes popular. There's so many messages in Heathers.
Yeah, it's satire, right? I mean,
it's definitely a dark satire comedy. for me, I think one of the things that stood out for me was its message about how the media hypes up whatever happens in schools. I mean, we still get that today. You know, they do this scene with the media and how they're making it almost popular to kill yourself. Were you going to say something, Brett?
No. I was fully agreeing with you.
That's just a creepy concept, but you can see that happening with the way we have media today, how that could possibly be seen as a popular trend. There's a line in there where one of the girls, this heavyset girl, tries to kill herself. One of the popular girls goes, oh, that's just another person trying to be popular by killing herself. I mean, you got Shannon Doherty in here playing the bitch like, well, I think that came naturally to her, really.
Yeah. No, that's how she got the role, probably. That was before Beverly Hills 90210, right?
I think it was just before, sure. Yeah.
Yep.
Another person, though, who I think kind of gets overlooked, though, is the one who played the head Heather, because the popular girls were all called Heathers. And Winona Ryder's character kind of tagged along with them. But the main Heather girl, played by Kim Walker, she gets some of the best lines in that movie.
Indeed.
Ever. I mean, to this day, the line, well, fuck me gently with a chainsaw, still...
Yes.
Still resonates with me, you know, or talks about how the love letter is going to give the girl shower nozzle masturbation material for a week. I mean, the way she rolls the dialogue off just felt so natural, yet it was so bitchy. I mean, it just, oh.
And there's so many good lines in that entire movie.
Oh, there is.
I mean, one of my favorites is the Dear Diary, my teen angst bullshit now has a body count.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. Or, you know, what's also great is Christian Slater just embodying his best Jack Nicholson impression.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you a Heather? There are no stupid questions. I mean, he totally, from the slick back hair to the dark clothes to the voice, Christian Slater was like a young Jack Nicholson
in this film.
And it's definitely one of those movies that you should see as well, because it's just this dark, twisted movie that has a lot of messages in it that still, I think, could resonate to today. So, excellent pick there, Glenn. Took one off my list, so... Brad, what about you, sir? Do you got another one on your list?
I'm probably going to get mocked for this one, but Clueless.
Oh, there you go.
Good movie.
Clueless.
Now, the reason why I picked it is it was such a great encapsulation, and I don't want to call it... It was almost like a mockumentary to it. It sort of had a little bit of that feel, and it really sort of tried to encapsulate high school in the 90s. And granted, you know, by that point, I had been out of high school for, 7 years. So I was getting to the point where I could no longer relate to this youth doing their things in school anymore. But... There were so many, like, just little gems of, you know, your main character is starting to pull her head out, you know, and start to realize, you know, and kind of realize that there's a wider world around her. And it was really just kind of a cool, don't get caught up in the trappings sort of a message that was really kind of, it was fun to watch. I really, really enjoyed that film. And, of course, that was probably our first big exposure to Brittany Murphy as well, who went on to do many, many good films and died way too young. But, it was a really fun movie.
Oh, that's a lot of fun. Anyone else have any thoughts or scenes that stood out for him for Clueless?
Stacey Dash? Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She stuck out for me the most, too. Yeah. No,
I'm guessing she made you stick out a little bit, too.
No, I mean, yeah. Just, I remember seeing it, but...
Yeah. Well, the girls they got in general... what I kind of liked about it, though, was... with the character, the main character, played by Alicia Silverstone, is, like Brad said, she wasn't she wasn't fully dumb like you would get cliche. She was just near the edge. But the way they play that character is she did have a intelligence to her that you saw in her before she did. And I kind of like that.
Yeah.
And then you had the young Paul Rudd in there as well, so let's not forget his.
Yeah, looking at I mean, Donald Faison.
Yeah.
God, well, Wallace Shawn. If you had a teacher, you had a goofy teacher character, you had to have a Wallace Shawn. That was that's the deal. Julie Brown, a comedian, shows up in there too. It's very interesting.
The DJ? Or no, the.
No, the comedic actress.
Yeah, the comedic singer. Actress.
Yeah, she shows up in there too. So yeah, it's just a really kind of an interesting cast of people that really went on to do some very interesting things. Breckenmeyer is another one that went on to do a bunch of interesting stuff too.
And let's not forget, it was written and directed by the same person who gave us Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Amy Heckerling. Yeah.
That's a movie we can't ignore on this list either.
that was actually one of my other mentions.
Oh, well, there you go. She directed Fast Times in Ridgemont High. So we'll get to that one, I think, in a minute. But definitely an excellent choice there, Brad, with Clueless. Cole, what about you, sir? Second film on your list?
Oh, man, you know, Perks of Being a Wallflower, I think, really, really rocked me out of my seat, man. That was an amazing film, directed by the same guy who wrote the book. But I can combine it with one of my other choices, which is Donnie Darko, for the same reason, which is that the teachers and the adults in the story are given the same honor and respect as the kids. And there are some really intelligent performances from the adults, Paul Rudd in Perks, and Drew Barrymore in Donnie Darko, who actually got the movie made. She made the movie exist. She got behind the script. In particular, Donnie Darko strikes me as very accurate because I had those same things in school, the love and fear graph. They gave that to us in school. I don't know how that was supposed to help us grow as children. You know, the whole Patrick Swayze character with the motivational speeches who turns out to be a pedophile also rings true to me on some level. Those motivational speakers definitely freaked me out, and Lord knows I saw a bunch of them while I was in school in the late 80s to early 90s. Both of those films really have chemistry between the teachers and the students, and there's bad teachers, and there's good teachers, and there's bad students, and there's good students, and the kids are dealing with real problems. Granted, you know, Donnie Darko is a time travel film, but still very very well acted by everyone in both of those films. And Perks is really a good movie. I know the title may turn some people off, but if you haven't seen it, I recommend giving it a shot. It's surprisingly well made, really beautifully shot, wonderful soundtrack, just like Donnie Darko. And just good performances all around. Both those movies I categorize as classics for the same reason, which is that I wish they had been around when I was a kid in high school. I would have done better in school, you know. Very compassionate films that really seem to respect young people and teachers both at once, which is rare in a teen-oriented school movie, you know.
Mm-hmm. William, what about you? You've seen, I think, Perks of the Wallflower. Did you like
Perks?
What stood out for you with that film?
Everything. The whole movie was just perfect.
Yeah. Awesome. Anybody else seen Perks and want to join in or have a favorite scene or performance in there? I mean, you never saw
it. I've seen it once. I mean, it's not, nothing's really coming to mind right now.
Sure, sure. Well, I definitely have yet things to watch, really. I haven't seen it either. It's one of those films that everybody was praised, and it got overlooked looking at it. Did it grab any nominations from the Wonderful Academy?
It's a great...
No, it didn't. It didn't. It did not grab a single Academy Award nomination from what I can tell on IMDb, which... really is sad because I heard everybody who saw it just loved Perks. So the fact that, though it did win Teen Choice Awards, so there you go.
That's cool. I mean, that's cool.
It did win awards, just, you know, not those ones that Hollywood at least holds high. But
yeah.
Those are both really good films. They're called, especially Donnie Darko. I love odd, unusual films, and Darko definitely has that twist at the end. It's a shame they felt the need for a sequel, which we won't mention.
Oh, my God.
So, Joe, I don't think we got to your second film yet.
Oh, my second one? Is going to be, well, like I said, it wasn't probably, I would probably chose Fast Times at Ridgemont High or something, but
well, you can talk
with the horror theme, The Faculty from 1998, directed by Robert Rodriguez, and the screenplay was by Kevin Williams.
Yeah.
Or whatever his name is, of screen fame. And it has literally like an all-star cast. It's like one of those movies you put it on and you start seeing all the people trickle out in the movie and you start tripping out a little bit. I was amazed by how many people were in this movie. I've seen it a couple times. It has Josh Hartnett, Selma Hayek, Famke Jensen, Robert Patrick, Usher, John Stewart, Elijah Wood, Danny Masterson, Eric Knowles.
Isn't Piper Laurie in it, too?
Yeah, she's in it, too, Piper Laurie. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, there's all kinds of.
Robert Patrick? Yeah.
Yeah, there's all kinds of people in there. Baby Newworth was
that
in there.
Clay Duvall. I know she's on some shows now. I don't.
Yeah.
But, and it's kind of like the Body Snatchers, but to the high school level, you know.
Yeah,
I almost felt more like a High School Invaders from Mars, almost too. Yeah, that whole idea of.
Well, they talk about Heinlein in there with Puppet Masters, and the girl's like a sci-fi fan, and the little twist at the end, I've seen it and I still couldn't remember it completely. I mean, it's probably obvious. I didn't put my full heart into watching. I was doing other stuff, but I was like, it's pretty good. I mean, it's like kind of a little interesting thing. I like the creature was kind of cool, and the all-star cast kind of made it cool.
Well, then that whole idea of the teachers possibly being aliens, I mean...
that's so, like, overdone, you know. But,
but the kid, you know, being a kid in high, you know, you always thought the teachers were in a different category, so it just took it to the next level of aliens.
And the alien design is actually pretty cool. It's like a little like creature that rehydrates, and I mean, at least they needed water to live. They didn't attack the world, and water was the enemy, like Signs. Which I was like, you got to give them points for that right there. You know, it's like they needed water to live. That's why they came to Earth, because it's like 75% water. It's not that water was the enemy, and then they came to Earth anyways and attacked them. You know?
Let's not right speak of Signs again. Let's not speak of Signs ever again.
No. Oh man, yo, Signs is so stupid.
It's like good until the end. And then I thought it was okay, and then at the end, I was just like shell shocked by how like lame like the ending was. I was like,
But that's the faculty.
Baseball bat to the water. Is he a baseball player or whatever? Wasn't it some crap like that? Or
yeah, it was.
The
swing away, Janet. Whatever. Yeah,
kind of blocked it. Maybe it's not as good as I thought.
But the faculty was good. I remember seeing it, and I thought it had some great moments into it. There's a scene in where there's school buses, and I thought that was I think they have a fight or something out in the schoolyard by the school buses and that. And yeah, that was a good film.
Yeah, I mean,
it's Robert Rodriguez too, so he can direct action scenes pretty well. And
I mean, it's kind of like it's very basic, like something you've seen a million times, but they did it pretty well. It's not too bad. It's, you know, they have all their stereotypical. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What was it, Sean?
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I guess I'm coming from Nate. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
Saying that, like you said, the creature design, like watching, you know, the actual, I guess, the mother of the aliens.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, she was chasing Elijah Woods through the bleachers and everything, like watching that actual creature, like that was really cool, man. I like the way it looked, the design of the creature and everything. I mean, the ending was kind of like,
it's like cheesy, but it's like sort of like a fluffy version of Invasion of the Body Snatchers or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's what it kind of reminded me of.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I mean, especially like the scene where they're all in the they're in the garage and they're like he's like sniff it, Yeah. They, like, have the whole snippet.
Yeah, that's a scene, and you know what's funny is they rip off a lot of horror movies, and that was that scene. They kept talking. It was like a meta type thing, because you know it's Kevin Williamson, you know, who did Scream. Yeah. And they keep bringing all this meta stuff. She's talking about Robert Heinlein and Puppet Masters. And then on that scene with the where they're sniffing the drugs, reminded me of the Thing, you know, where they're doing...
Yeah, the blood.
Yeah, the blood and the Thing. And I was like, you could see, you know, Robert Rodriguez, super fanboy himself there, kind of giving it shout-outs.
Yeah, definitely a lot of meta references. Well, this was made in the late 80s where, thanks to Scream, started
No. Late 90s.
Yeah. This is late 90s, apologize. This was in the late 90s after Scream, so that whole meta reference thing was in full swing in horror films because it was good in Scream, so everybody wanted to do
it. And it's the same guy, so yeah.
Basically. Yeah, you know, it works. It works. So definitely The Faculty, if you haven't checked that one out either, good. Yeah. It's got Elijah Wood in it. Can't beat that, right?
Yeah, he's tripping out in the corner.
You know, you'll see some actors that you probably hold in regard now that we're just starting out in this film and not see them the same way.
Robert Patrick is the football coach. Is, you know, you can't get better casting than that.
Yeah.
Stereotypical casting, you know.
Remember that scene where they were like on the football field, and they're just standing there, letting the water, and they're just looking up in the sky, and the little tentacles are coming out of their face. That was crazy, cool. Man.
Yeah. That was great.
It like flashes, the lightning flashes or something. You can see like the under their skin.
Yeah, a
lot of creepy moments in that film, definitely. So for me, my second one is going to be one you guys might remember, called Summer School. Again, late 80s. Yes.
We're showing our age, yeah.
We're showing our age here. Carl Reiner, Summer School. Yeah. Mark Harmon, Christy Alley.
Where
the high school gym teacher is forced to, because he does a dumb thing, he's forced to teach English to a bunch of misfits. Mm-hmm. And if they don't pass their final test, he gets kicked out because of an incident that happens with him. And the crazy shit that goes on in this movie is it's just fun. I mean, you've got in here not only Christy Alley, but you have a great scene in here between, they've got two guys in here who are big horror movie fan nuts.
That's it, I remember that.
And they're looking for substitute teachers in the beginning of the film. After something happens and Mark Harmon's teacher character gets suspended during the summer school, the kids want him back, and so they scare the substitute teacher by pulling this Texas Chainsaw Massacre type of thing with special gore effects and stuff. And it's just hilarious. And they also cover in there, of course, the old girl who has a crush on the teacher. I believe that was Courtney Thorne Smith who played the girl who had a crush on old Mark Harmon. And she was one of the reasons I watched that film quite often. but what's interesting about this film too is that it starred the woman who was in Bride of the Reanimator, Miss Fabiana Udino.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah, she was in Bride of the Reanimator, and she was in this film, too. She had finished doing Hard Bodies, too, and then she did this film, and she played an exchange student. And I always remember the scene in there where, this came out in 87, so, you know, when they get to the scene where she's almost about to take her top off at the beach, you know, another great scene. only because you get the two horror guys there staring, waiting for her to take her top off, and her friend goes, "No, what do you think? This isn't Paris," and they're just like, "That was cruel. That was so cruel." But there's a lot of fun moments. I mean, Mark Harmon was kind of at his peak at that time, I guess, and he had
he in before that? What's like? I know he does that NC. NCIS or whatever.
He did NCIS now. Mark Harmon? Oh, man.
Before summer school. I can't remember what he was famous for, but he was famous before that. I should probably look him up, I guess.
But anybody else remember summer school or had a great scene or character that you remember from it?
Wondermutt.
Wondermutt, yes.
Wondermutt and Bob.
I loved Wondermutt.
Yes, the scene where he's having that conversation, eating the peanut butter and jelly and dipping in both jars and sharing it with the dog.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, they're just both sharing peanut butter. Oh, he was in St. Elsewhere. Carmen was. He was in St. Elsewhere. He did a few movies before that, but that was where he really was known. That and he had done Centennial back in the 70s, but St. Elsewhere was that big show back in the early 80s. And then he did a stint on Moonlighting as well. So when he hit summer school.
And I remember that movie Presidio too. With Sean Connery, right?
Yep. I would say that it was probably his peak, though.
That's probably why he got the NCIS job.
He did show up in Wyatt Earp as well, but he's been most famous for NCIS. So if you want to see an early film with Mr. Mark Harmon from NCIS, check out Summer School. I think it's a lot of fun. And it's got an interesting ending as well, because it doesn't end quite like you thought it would. You know, it's one of those where it's a happy ending, but nothing turns out exactly perfect, which I liked about it. You know, they took a slightly different twist with it. So, but that's for me. That's my second film as well. So let's start then with Cole, your third film for the evening, sir.
Well, there's not that. I guess I debated about it because the whole movie doesn't take place in a school, but I really enjoy Some Kind of Wonderful, almost as the movie that Pretty in Pink should have been, with Ducky hitting the girl. You know, that was they made Hughes change the ending, and he did. And everybody complains that they're both the same movie, same director, same mentality. But I think he made that movie, A1, because he could, and B2, because he really wanted to make the movie that he envisioned. It also contains Mary Stuart Masterson's astonishingly good performance. I mean, it's a really, really good performance in that. She is so compassionate and so introspective, and it's just light years ahead of anything I'd seen other than The Breakfast Club for a teen movie of that era. She is really good in that. I know Molly Ringwald turned down the role, and Leah Thompson stepped into it, thank goodness, because Leah Thompson, yeah, a little to do it, was really good. I mean, really good. I know she was struggling for work at the time. Her career wasn't what it should have been after Back to the Future and Space Camp. She was actually struggling for work, and Eric Stoltz, as always, had some conflicts with the director, but I think when Eric Stoltz is good, he's good, you know? I stand by the guy as an actor, you know, when he's good, he's good, and he's good in that. And Elias Koteas, am I pronouncing his name right? As the skinhead with the heart.
Oh, yeah, very, yeah.
It's just a great movie. Again, like The Principal, it's not high art. I can't put it next to Perch or Donnie Darko, but I watch it 2-3 times a year. I really love it. Great soundtrack. It is a good flick. I enjoyed it.
You get the classic tale of the Tom girl and friend boy who is a friend, and suddenly emotions rise, but then he gets a chance with the popular girl, and you got that whole storyline in there that used to be popular with school movies, as well as the heartbreaking, you know, crush that never happens because the popular girl is there, you know.
And the perk of the lead character saying, "I'm not going to go to college, you know, I'm going to be an artist," was pretty dang cool for a flick at that time. I'm, you know, straight up. And Taggart's in it, I forgot, as the Eric Stoltz's father. I forget his name. John Ashton?
Yeah.
He's really good in that movie. I mean, that scene where they're fighting about him, how his son spent his savings, his son spent the savings on these diamond earrings, and the father's like, that's such a stupid thing to do, and his son's like, no. I mean, it's a good scene. At one point, Ashton's spitting. He's so angry, yeah. He's going towards the camera. I enjoy it. It's funny, and it's romantic, and even as an adult, I rank it way up there, above 16 Candles or even Pretty in Pink or a lot of those movies. Some Kind of Wonderful is just, seems to me like the movie Hughes wanted to make.
Nice.
I enjoy it.
Pick. Excellent. And Glenn, what about you? You got a third one on your list?
Oh my God, I got so many on my list. Better Off Dead.
Oh,
yeah. Whoa.
Better yeah. Off Dead.
Nice.
$2. $2.
That one is one I'm familiar with pretty well.
Good old John Cusack.
Yep.
That's a fun movie. Yeah.
The street racing guys.
The street racing
Howard
guys.
Purcell guys.
The
mother fries, French dressing, French bread.
And to Drake, Peru.
Can you imagine the street value of all this snow?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. The mid '80s when cocaine jokes were big.
Yes.
That guy's whole stick was based on that character actor.
Sean or William, have you seen Better Off Dead?
No, I didn't. I never got around to seeing that.
Sad face.
I'm a John Cusack fan myself anyway, so yeah. I think it is one of his great films. One of those films that I think set, though, what type of character he would play for the rest of his career.
He always better plays sort of that, yeah.
You know, that similar type of character.
Kid he fights at the end, Francis, right?
Yeah.
For the French stage.
But yeah, that's a great film. I love that. I used to watch that. Another cable fodder film back in the day.
Yeah.
When cable was still growing. HBO played that quite a bit, and then Showtime, and then Cinemax, and then USA, and
it was more like on regular TV.
Yeah, and then it was
Channel 13,
was on
Channel 5,
Turner brand, TV channels would show it for that Saturday morning programming they're looking to fill. So it was on quite a bit when I was younger. So excellent choice there. Sean, what about you, sir? You have a third film?
Yeah, I was just sitting here thinking because I actually have a couple, but
sure.
I was just sitting here thinking like, which one am I gonna pick? I'm gonna go outside of the box and I'm going to take a stab at Bill and Ted: Excellent Adventure.
Nice.
Excellent.
There
you go.
What is it about Bill and Ted's, Sean, that stands out for you?
Oh man, I came across that being a fan of Doctor Who as a kid, and you know, I saw the similarities there, and you know, yeah, Keanu Reeves, just you know, I'm a big fan of time travel movies overall.
Yeah.
So watching them go back in time, you know, and everything, it just really like was a hit a chord for me.
The second film
was pretty much you're playing like Twister with death. Like, come on.
Yeah, the second one did pale to the first one, and you gotta love the fact they used a phone booth too. So you know that had to be a subtle Doctor Who reference there. Favorite scene, let's go down, because I think everybody here has seen Bill and Ted's.
Exactly.
You got a specific scene at all, Sean, or just in general that stood out for you?
The end when he has everybody, well, actually there's two scenes where Beethoven is in the store rocking out on the piano on the keyboard, and then at the end where Beethoven's rocking out, like that was definitely one scene that stands out for me. But the next scene would be like when everybody was on stage. I was thinking about when Brad had mentioned earlier School of Rock. I was thinking about the last scene of Bill and Ted where everybody's on stage and they're singing and they're rocking out with every Beethoven, Joan of Arc. So I was like, yeah, that reminds me of School of Rock.
Yeah, it is very similar to School of Rock. William, you've seen Bill and Ted's?
I've only seen the second one.
Oh, so you haven't seen the first one yet. Definitely
no.
Try to check out the first one. Second one I enjoyed for William Sandler's performance as Death. He really helped save. He really kept the second one interesting. Best scene in that second one was when he's walking past the guy smoking, and he just goes, "I'll see you soon." I love that scene. Brad, what about you? Bill and Ted's favorite moment, one of.
Strange things are afoot at the Circle K. I mean, that's a line that if I run into something that's just really, really fucked up, I end up looking to somebody that I know will catch the reference, and I'll say that to them, and it's like you have that moment of yeah, this isn't right at all. It's one of the it's like a really good line of them trying to start to wrap their heads around the world's much bigger than we thought it ever could be, and we're about to embark on something that's just absolutely insane. So let's do this.
That's a great moment. Cole, what about you?
More than any specific scene, I like the Billy the Kid stuff, because I studied Billy the Kid for a while when I was a wannabe novelist. But I had this delusion of grandeur of writing a Billy the Kid book. But I think the whole movie in general, if you see it, well, I saw it when I was very young in the theater, and you get a little bit of an education there, actually. You know, you really kind of do. You kind of learn about historical figures while having fun. And we had the option of seeing this or Gleaming the Cube. Literally, they were in the same theater. And we went to this, and I'm so glad. I enjoy it. I think it's a really good-hearted movie. I forget who directed it, but the name, for whatever reason...
Stephen Harry.
Yeah, I mean, he faltered later in his career, but for a while there, he was doing some pretty decent comedies, and there is actually chemistry between Keanu and Winters, I think. They play off each other well, and I just think it's a really fun movie. I recommend seeing it before the sequel. I mean, Sadler keeps the sequel afloat without a doubt. But Bill and Ted's, man, that's a great movie. I can't believe I didn't think of it, because it's a good school movie, actually.
Well, it is. Yeah, that's an excellent choice. And the director actually did, this was only his second film. First one he did, Critters. Come on.
Yep, I was just thinking about that, man.
He flipped into Critters, which is an awesome movie as well. So
yeah.
It definitely... I love that that he did both those films, because those are some of my favorite 80s films. Glenn, what about you? Any particular moment in Bill and Ted's you want to share that you like?
Oh man, I don't know.
So many.
It's just all so good. Sidney was on football rules.
San Dimas High School, I pass it all the time.
It's just, you know, eat the pig, eat the pig, ziggy, 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 zig. Everything in that, it's just a great movie, and it's...
Definitely.
That is the role that Keanu Reeves was born to play, the only role he played.
Where the famous line that he had in there would carry him throughout his entire career. Whoa. Joe, what about you? Any particular moment in Bill and Ted's?
I don't know. I remember liking pretty much all of it, but wasn't George Carlin in, was he in both of them? Or just...
Yeah, he's in both of them.
George. He played Rufus.
That's it.
Yeah, getting George Carlin in there was great.
Yeah.
You know, and you mentioned Keanu Reeves and chemistry between Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter, and you're right. Actually, these two, it's like, You bought into the fact these are two friends. You can see exactly why these two guys are hanging out with each other, you know, and they play off each other's dialogue so well. I mean, it is hard to pick just one great moment, because there's so many moments in this film. I mean, I think it's great as how they played Bill's father dating the 18-year-old girl who had just graduated from their high school, and they're walking down the stairs, and he's like, dude, I can't believe your dad and your mom are going to do it in your room. Shut up, Ted. Hey, you remember when she was a senior and we were freshmen? Shut up, Ted. Hey, you remember one time I asked your mom out to the prom? Shut up, Ted. I mean, they get those moments like that. One that I always quote, though, for sure is, is where they meet Socrates. And it's like you have
Socrates.
You have one of the most intelligent philosophers there is, with probably the most vacuous teenagers ever. And they go, all we are dust in the wind, dude. And he can't understand them, so they just pick up the sand. They go, dust. Wind. Dude. And then he whittles off, so are the days of our lives. I mean, there's just so many. And that's what I liked about this movie, and I think that's what made it work, is it's done episodically. You could actually, if it came out today, could almost be a web series of sorts. The way the scenes are put together, they're bits. They're this scene is funny, and then we move to this one. It's not like trying to do one really long joke. They just, these guys are in this situation, and this is how you see them acting. I just love that movie. I used to watch it constantly, and the soundtrack is really good, and it's got some interesting artists on there, because there's I don't think there's really any big name, but one of the songs from there actually made it into a Rock Band or a Guitar Hero game later on. The song where Beethoven's the Do You Wanna Play actually made it into one of the games, I think, later on. Yeah, it is in one of the games. So definitely a fun movie in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. William, I don't think we got to your third one yet. What'd you have for a third one?
Well, I was about to say, I did read online that they might be remaking Bill and Ted.
There was debates on remaking or making a third one. One of the two, yeah, I heard that.
Looks like crap. He was in that Grand Piano movie for like a second. I didn't even recognize him.
Yeah, really?
Alex Winter right now he's a documentary director. He's done a number of them. And he and Keanu still get together, and they still keep talking about doing another Bill and Ted movie. And they're basically looking for financial backing and to get it to do it. They both want to do it. There's no question.
Is that the one that you found, William, about them?
No.
Or is this a different one?
Well, I don't think anybody's really seen this, since it was a German film, and this is the only copy I could find that had English dub, but it's Night of the Living Dorks.
Night of the Living Dorks. What's that one?
I've actually heard of it.
I think I've heard of it, too.
Yeah.
It's about a group of nerds who meet up with these goth kids in a graveyard to resurrect the dead. And something goes wrong, like the remaining evil dust of a dead body hits them in the face, and then they end up in a car crash, and they come back the next day as zombies.
There you go.
Wow.
And it kind of just goes on from there. It's really, really funny.
How'd you find out about that one?
I was watching a very low-budget film called Freak Out, and it was in the trailer section, so I'm like, But it was a German trailer, so you just seen it.
Well, there you go. Now I've got one to add to my list. Dorks of the Dead. Or is it Night of Living Dorks? I mean,
Night of the Living Dorks.
Yeah.
Oh, 2004. Nice. That's awesome pick, man. Yeah, looks like it's got some interesting stuff to it. Definitely going to put that on my horror list. Way to pull out a...
I've definitely heard of it, man, for sure.
Way to pull that one out, William. You got us stumped this time. Nice. Let's see, Brad, did we get to your third one yet?
We have not, and mine is actually Porky's.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's another classic.
Like Glenn said, that could be almost a show in itself, but yes, I remember Porky's as well. I think any teenager or preteen...
Anybody remotely our age knows what Porky's is.
Yeah.
We all know what Porky's was. It was that film that nobody wanted you to see because it had the full frontal female nudity, among other things.
That's the reason everybody wanted to see it. That little freckly kid.
Oh, God. Yeah. And I saw it in 1987, and that would have been about 5 years after it had been made. And that was definitely the time where, that type of movie was, that's what was made, you know. You had your coming-of-age romp where somebody, a group of guys went to see strippers and, they had boobs in the face and whatever. And that was the deal. That was a movie that you got about high school.
A 1982 comedy where you had to have gratuitous nudity.
God, Kim Cattrall. I mean, that began my romance and infatuation with her was in Porky's. And it was just such a fun, you had the whole high school feel of trying to, these guys. You're rooting for these guys to get boobs in the face. You wanted that to happen to them. They were searching for it. They wanted to make this happen. And by God, you wanted to see them get boobs in the face.
You would hope that you were going to be those guys one day.
Well, you want to live vicariously in the boob action there. But the second part, too, is, screw the man. You got these high school kids that want to have this grand adventure, and there are people getting in their way, and you're like, screw you, they need boobs in the face, So, I mean, throughout, you're rooting for these kids on multiple levels, and they're not 100% likable, but they're definitely a lot like, for guys, we've all had those friends. So it's like you could cast your friends in the different roles. Who's Pee-wee? Who's Billy? Who's Meat? Well, maybe not who's Meat, who would you cast in these different roles, and you all have this epic adventure to get boobs in the face,
Yeah, I mean, it's a great little comedy that's almost like a road show, because they're trying to get to a strip club. Teenagers going to a strip club. That was, like, a major theme. And that was in 82 that they did that. And I remember the controversy.
I haven't seen it in, like, a decade, but... The gym teacher, the mean gym teacher. Her daughter lives in my. I mean, I talk to her daughter every day, and she is so proud of her mother. And her mother was very proud of her work. It wasn't something that she was embarrassed about at all. An interesting little tidbit. It's not like Porky's.
She's been in a lot of movies, though, right?
She's been in a lot of movies.
Like a lot of mainstream, like big movies, I think, too.
It may be. I mean, Margaret only talks about all I hear about is Porky's, but
I think her
mother definitely was not ashamed of that movie at all, or the sequels, which I guess she was in. I didn't see any of the sequels, but
Porky's passed away now.
Pardon? She has passed on.
That's what I was going to say, because I think her name was Ballbreaker or something, right? Because she had I was going to say she was in Sudden Impact, Porky's 2, Remington Steel. She's in a lot of stuff.
Yep, Porky's Nancy 3. Parsons. Yeah. Motel Hell.
Nancy Parsons.
Oh, yes.
Steel Magnolias.
Yeah, she did a lot of stuff.
I thought she was in Motel Hell. I knew I'd seen her in a lot of other stuff.
Oh, interesting. All I ever hear about is Porky's.
Tell her, Motel Hell. Almost pretty famous. They just released that on Blu-ray, actually. So Sudden Impact's Dirty Harry movie, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it is.
It was a nurse with Family Ties.
Yeah,
it's like Grendel in Amazing Stories. What?
She was that gal in movies and TV.
Yeah, she was that one. So. Let's see. Who did we get to yet? Glenn, or we got yours? Joe. Joe, I don't think we got
yours. Oh, my third one? I didn't really do a third one, but I was going to say Class of 1999.
Nice!
The robot killing mechanisms. Teachers.
Yeah.
Where the future 1999 so messed up that the military contractor gets put in charge of teaching high school kids. That was the best. And Stacy Peach has the mullet that's bleach blonde that
actually
ripped off as an avatar for a lot of my internet stuff.
Class of 1999, that's a great one. And that was funny because it came out in 90, so it was only like 9 years later they were trying to...
It's that guy Mark Lester, he did Class of 1984. It's supposed to be kind of like a loosely based sequel, I guess.
Yeah.
He also did Commando. So.
He did, yeah. And Showdown in Little Tokyo. He was like the cheesy action guy for a little while. But I like Class of 99, man. I watched it at like 2 o'clock in the morning on Cinemax. And I dug it, man.
That's pretty cool. I mean, it's like cheesy as hell. They have like these post-apocalyptic cars and the high school, you know, it's all gangs, of course, and kind of funny. It's a lot of Terminator ripoff in there, too.
Yeah. Oh, definitely a lot of that. Great choices, everyone.
Honorable mention that sure. I was going to Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield. That's one I hadn't seen in a long time, but I used to obsessively watch that movie. So
I've got so many on my list still. There's just so many good movies.
Yeah, there are. There are actually a lot of great school movies.
We could go all night. I mean, Dead Poets Society, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Easy A, PCU, Animal House,
Stand and Deliver.
Yeah.
Let's just name off a bunch of them. Stand and
Deliver. Lean on Me. That's another great one. But there's a lot of great school movies out there. I don't think there's quite as many great ones being made now as there were in the past 80s, 90s, and even early 2000s. But it definitely got a great list tonight. I hope all the listeners had a pen and paper and were writing these down because they were all great choices. But we're going to wrap it up for here tonight. It's getting late, and as Glenn said, we could probably talk about these types of films forever. So let's move down the list real quick. And Brad, why don't you start with you? Where can people find your stuff when you're not talking on here?
GalacticNetcasts.com. We have a couple of podcasts. One is interview-based, where we talk to sci-fi, authors. We just had Andy Weir, the writer of The Martian, on. Tonight we had somebody that was a listener of our show who lives in the UK, and we had a discussion about Doctor Who and the differences in the news and how things are covered and talked about there. So that's one of the shows. The other show is The Alien Invasion, where we just talk about aliens and media, and occasionally when Weekly World News bothers to update their website, we laugh about that, and that's pretty much what we do. So GalacticNetcast.com is where you can find all our shows.
And Cole, what about you, sir?
Right now, Facebook is the way. I'm deep in post-production on the new movie and sort of let my internet site fade because Facebook seems to be the best form of promotion, but... Cole Meredith at Facebook, my production company, Shadows and Lovers Productions at Facebook. Please stop by there if you're interested in my movies. The fifth one is released soon. I also goof around on a Facebook page called Horror Roar, which is a fun page just focused on horror movies primarily. But right now I'm kind of broke. The internet site is kind of, I can't afford it. So all my money's going towards the new movie. So Facebook right now.
Awesome. And Glenn, you, sir, what about your stuff?
You can find me on YouTube, the B-Movie Bunker. You can also find me on Facebook, Naked Hobo Productions. That's where I make my short films, and I should have my first two will be premiering sometime in the next month or so, hopefully at a film festival. Otherwise, I will be premiering them on YouTube.
Cool.
And Joe Caldwell, go ahead.
You can find me at my YouTube channel, which is Caldwell3. It's my last name with a 3 at it. So, or you can just type my name in like Google and it'll probably come up because it's kind of rare. So, you find my mug easy. Kind of creepy, but.
And Sean, why don't you go ahead and let people know where they can find your stuff?
You can find me at 4geekslikeyou.com. I'm always writing up new articles from movies to anime to comic books to television shows, doing game reviews, and in October might be pretty tied up because we're going to be in New York City Comic Con and IndieCade in Los Angeles. So
awesome.
Keeping pretty busy.
Cool, man.
Great stuff, man, and glad you could join us tonight in the spoiler room. Appreciate you having you here. And you're always welcome back. You bet. And William, what about you, sir? Where can you find your stuff? Oh, you bet.
Facebook and YouTube. My username on YouTube is pretty long.
But we've got a link on specialmarkproductions.com. We've got a link there for it, so people can check it out there. I I can't spell it. I'm sure you could, though. Did you want to spell it?
PRTONANALOSKI, and then the number 2.
Nice.
Wow.
I love that name. That's such a great name. And as always, you can find us on the Spoiler Room. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. You can also find us at specialmarkproductions.com. There's the podcast link there, plus links to all these fine folks' material. I'll be adding four geeks like you to the webpage of Friends of Special Mark Productions, and that's where you can find a lot of the stuff there that I do. I'm also on wheeloffilm.com, where I host a weekly segment called Horror Thursdays. If you haven't yet, go there and go vote. You get to choose what movies I'm going to review in October. So it's just kind of a fun thing we're doing. It's a year old. I've been doing it for a year now, and been a lot of fun. So, and that's where I got to meet some really great people, including some of the folks here. So, and I appreciate everybody listening, all you listeners, people who hopped in the room tonight. Thank you so much for watching Spoiler Room. We wouldn't be doing this without you guys and your support. And remember, with the Spoiler Room, the films may be spoiled, but the conversation, we do keep fresh.